And before every victory, there's a battle you gotta fight. Before every sunrise, one must live through the night. And before the grave burst open on a resurrection morn, there's a hill to be climbed and a cross to be borne. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you know what's best for me. Lead on, Jesus. I'll go wherever you lead. Into the ground, a grain of wheat has fallen and is dead, that on some tomorrow the hungry will have bread. My sails were torn, my little boat tossed helplessly at sea, but how else could I have learned that he'd rescue one like me? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I'll go, you know what's best for me, lead on, Jesus, and I'll go wherever you lead. Sing that part with me if you would, if you can sing it tonight to the Lord. Oh, Jesus, you know what's best for me. Lead on, Jesus. I'll go wherever you lead. Into the ground, a grain of wheat has fallen and is dead. But on some tomorrow, the hungry will have bread. My sails were torn, my little boat tossed helplessly at sea, but how else could I have learned that he'd rescue one like me? Hallelujah. Oh yes, precious Jesus, you know what's best for me. just lead on. Precious Jesus, 'cause I'll go wherever you lead. I'll go wherever you lead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, he is the loftiest idol. We're going to read in the 23rd chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 23 and the 8th verse. Job chapter 23 and verse number 8. And Job said, behold, I go forward. Everybody say, I'm going forward. He said, talking about God, he said, but he's not there. Have you ever felt like you were going forward, but the Lord wasn't there? He said, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, I can see him working over there. He says, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But verse 10 is so very vital for us to understand. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now here's the crux of the whole matter. When you don't know where God is, God knows where you are. Amen. Brother T.F. Tenney used to have a wonderful say. He said, when you cannot track God, you just have to trust him. When you cannot track God, you just have to trust him. And so tonight, that's it. Trusting God. Amen. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In the New Testament, we read the word faith many times. In the Old Testament, you read the word trust. And they're very much parallel, aren't they? Faith certainly includes trusting God. And you trust God. You have confidence that God is going to take care of you. Amen. And that's what Job is saying in these verses that I read to you here tonight. He said, I'm just trusting God. I can't seem to find him. If you live for God a while, you're going to find out that it's a walk of faith, not feeling. Now what the scripture said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Now, we love feeling, and I do. I love to feel God. I love to feel the presence of God. But whether or not I feel the presence of God is not the issue. The important thing is that I trust God. And when I can't feel God, I still trust that he loves me. And he cares about me. And he knows exactly where I am, and he knows what I'm going through. Amen. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. God is still with me, even if I can't feel him at a particular time. You know, sometimes when you go to prayer, it feels like heaven kisses the earth, and you're right in the middle of the smack. I mean, it feels good when you pray. And there's other times you just pray. Sometimes you feel nothing. You just pray. But you just pray. Amen. And you still have faith. God, thank you for hearing me. I don't feel a whole lot of anything right now, but I thank you. Do you know what? I've prayed for people, and man, I felt the Holy Ghost when I prayed for them. And they were not healed. And I prayed for people, Brother Hart, and I didn't feel much of anything. And they started shouting and spinning and got healed. You know what that's all about? He said, it's not what you feel, buddy. Matter of fact, it has nothing to do with you other than obedience. Amen. Praise God. So you see, we can't go by our feelings. It's a big, big mistake to get hung up on your feelings. Amen. That's a good thing to feel God, but just don't get hung up on your feelings. The United States military launched 24 satellites to track the troops and their military vehicles. That was the initiation of the global positioning system we call GPS. Now people have got them in their cars and all over. It's what's in your telephone, brother. You got a GPS in your telephone. You've got a GPS in a lot of vehicles, and the people can. There's no hiding anymore. Those little satellites up there, they can find out exactly where you are, and they can pinpoint you. You can buy one for your dog or your cat. You can put one on your kid. Amen. You can. They've got global positioning systems, and then they can track just about anything on the planet. That's the day and the time that we live in. Amen. But God had one of those a long time before the U.S. military. He's always known exactly where every one of his kids was. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what's going on. Amen. He knows what kind of situation you're going through. He's right there. God has always known. God called a man one time by the name of Abram. And God said to Abram, he said, I want you to go out to a place that I will show you. He said, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to leave your homeland. I want you to leave everything you're familiar with. You can take your cattle and your livestock, and you can take your wife, and you can take your servants along. He said, but I want you to leave everything else of your father's household behind. Now, a couple of people tagged along with him. First of all, his daddy went. And his daddy didn't make the journey. He died on the way. And his nephew Lot also went on the journey. And if you remember, there was some strife between those two a little later on. And Lot got in a whole lot of trouble. Maybe that's why they called him Lot. I don't know. But he tried to tag along on Papa Abraham's faith strings. And he got himself in some trouble later on and lost some precious things. But Abraham, God called him, and he said, I want you to go where I'll show you. And the scripture says that Abraham obeyed, and that he went out, and that he, not knowing where he went. Now, Jesus simply told us, he said, I am the way, and I'm the truth, I'm the life, and I don't know how to get to heaven, Brother Hart, except Jesus. But if I'll stay in Jesus, he's going to get me there. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is righteousness, and he's peace, and he's joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if I stay in him, I can stay righteous. If I stay in him, I can be pure. If I stay in him, I'm going to make it to heaven. Because he is the way. So I don't know how to get there any other way. And I don't think anybody else does. I've heard people say there's a lot of roads going to heaven. I don't know about that. I never read that in the Bible anywhere. I've heard people say that, but I've never read that. All I've ever seen in the scripture is it said, I am the way. Amen. Well, you sing an old song. Remember that? One way to God. There's just one. One way to God. There's just one. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And there's just one way as far as the Bible's concerned. So Abraham went out. Wasn't that? Can you imagine doing that? What if you tonight you went home and the Lord said, "Now I want you to just leave everything, amen, and follow me." Now, I don't think He's going to do that. Let me just clarify. And I will say this, and this may sound a little bold to you, but if the Lord tells you to go somewhere, I got a real good inkling that He's going to also tell the pastor about it. Because the pastor's given a watch for your soul. So if the Lord tells me one thing, tells you something else, we got a problem. One of us is not hearing from the Lord. And one of us is not hearing from the Lord. Now, I believe that's true. Amen. There have been people that God told to do things, and I felt real good about it. And I said, yeah, I think that's right. Matter of fact, the Lord had just told me about that, just kind of gave me a little idea about that just a few days ago. And I've had other people say, the Lord told me to do this, and I thought, well, I'm not real sure. I sure don't feel good about this. Amen. So you be real careful about what the Lord tells you. Because the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now I can tell you how that works. I had felt a call into missions for a long time. Matter of fact, since my childhood. And the Lord never told me where to go. I was waiting. I was almost 40 years of age. And I was sitting on the platform in a youth service. And just sitting there in a youth service. And out of just the clear, the Lord said to me, He said, I want you to go to Venezuela, South America. Where did that come from? This is a youth service. I want you to go to Venezuela, South America. You know what the first thing I said was? God, I will go. But you've got to talk to my wife about this. Because I'm not going by myself. Amen. Amen. And so I just believed He would. And so after this, as a matter of fact, I didn't say any more about it. I just felt so good in the Holy Ghost. I felt good in the Holy Ghost. The Lord had given me some direction. The next day, I just sprung it on my wife. I said, did the Lord say anything special to you last night in that service? And she said, well, what did He tell you? And that's a wise woman right there. She said, what did He tell you? I said, well, He told me to go to Venezuela. And she said, well, that's the same thing He told me. So you see, God confirms. And then one of our friends that lived up the road pretty good ways, good friend, and next time we saw her, she said, you know that service we were in the other night? She said, God told you something, didn't He? Amen. You see, not only did He confirm it to me and to my wife, but He confirmed it from an outside source. So when God tells you to do something, He's going to confirm what He told you to do. Amen. It's not just a pizza dream. I ate too much pizza, you know. And amen. Like the guy went to meet the board to get his license. And they said, how do you know you called to preach, brother? He said, I saw up in the sky big clouds and it said, GP, go preach. And they said, how do you know that didn't mean go plow? Amen. Well, you see, it's not, God doesn't always show you those kinds of signs, but He will confirm things. And He'll do it. You need to be around spiritual people because they will help you know the will of God. Amen. But if you're kind of living in a little spirit of rebellion, you're not going to hear from the Lord most of the time about making some big changes in your life as far as leaving the situation. The changes He's going to talk to you about are interior. It's going to be about getting your spirit right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And but God called Abraham. And Abraham, I don't know how long it took. The Bible doesn't say when the Lord called Abraham. We don't know what age he was. But he was 75 years old when he left. I don't know how long it was, how long it took him to get ready. The Lord may have called Abraham when he was 25. I don't know. The Lord may have called him when he was 50. Or the Lord may have called him when he was 75. I don't know when the Lord called him, but I do know that at some point in time, he went out. And he followed after the will of God. The Bible says, and I love this verse, I've always loved this, in Hebrews 11 and 10, it said, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Hallelujah. Then we used to, what's that song we used to sing? "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. 'Cause my trouble, mansions are," what is it, my something or other? Treasures, that's the word. "Somewhere beyond the blue. The Lord beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Amen. You know, that's the spirit of a pilgrim. You know, Abraham was a very, very, very wealthy man. But he always lived in a tent. He never built a house. Amen. You know why? Because he was looking for that city. Amen. He saw a lot of nice houses. He saw a lot of fancy stuff. He said, "But this tent's going to do me. Because when the Lord says go, I'm pulling up stakes and we're hitting the road." Amen. He understood, wherever God leads, I'm going. And he learned to trust the Lord. Oh, he had some problems. He messed up a few times. He tried to help God out a few times and got in a lot of trouble over it. Just because I say trust God, you know, you're going to make some mistakes, folks. But God understands that. He'll forgive you. He doesn't expect you to be 100% perfect all the time. Every now and then you're going to miss it. But just when you do, just repent, make it right, and go on. Amen. And so Abraham, great man of God, friend of God, the Bible said. But every now and then he missed it. But he picked up and he went on. He didn't let that stop him. Amen. And he just learned to trust God. Boy, you talk about trusting God. Woo! Yeah, he trusted the Lord. 5 kings with all of their armies captured his nephew and all his stuff. How many? Abraham had, what was it? 400 men? Something like that. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And with those men, his own servants of his own house, that's a lot of servants, isn't it? But to go against 5 kings and 5 armies, that took some trust, didn't it? Amen. They didn't have machine guns. Amen. They didn't have army tanks. They just had faith in God. Trust in God. And you know what? They won. They recovered. They trusted God. And God brought them through. Amen. Well, I love the story of Elijah. Don't you love the story of Elijah? My, what a man of God. Can you imagine? A guy he just walks one day. First time in the Bible we ever see Elijah. He, in 17th chapter of 1 Kings. He just walks in the king's palace. Just walks in there. He said, "It's not going to rain till I say so." Turns around and walks out. They probably laughed. They thought, who in the world was that man? Not going to rain till he said so. But you know what? It didn't rain. And it started getting serious. And they started looking for him. High and low, they looked for him. For over 3 years, it didn't rain. And if you've ever been over there in Israel, hey, they need rain real regular. That's a dry and arid place. They depend on it. Everything dried up. Things got serious. They were looking for Elijah. The next time they see him, he says, "Hey, King." He says, "It's getting ready to rain." Amen. And he said that before he ever saw any rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. What does the Bible say? It said, "Faith cometh by That's it. Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You see, before Elijah ever saw anything, he heard something. The same one that said, Elijah, go tell the king it's not going to rain till you say so. The same one that told him that said, Elijah, it's getting ready to rain now. And so he went and told the king, he said, it's getting ready to rain again. Amen. He said, you better get down the hill, bud, because if you don't, you're going to get your chariots all stuck in the mud. Amen. After he said that, then he began to pray for the rain. And he sent his servant 7 times looking for clouds. Until finally he said, I see a little cloud like a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. God's getting ready to turn on the waterworks. We better get out of here right now. Amen. It did rain. So you see, he trusted God. But even if you trust God, you got to be careful. You'll have your troubles along the way. You remember, there he is. Talk about the great prophet. He got so tired of wishy-washy folks. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, let's meet up at Carmel, the mountain, and we're going to settle this thing. Said, you bring all those prophets, 850 of them. He said, you bring all those 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Grove, and you bring all of them. We're going to meet at Carmel. We're going to build 2 altars. And I'm going to call on Jehovah God, and I'm going to let them call on their gods. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Well, now that's stepping out there, wasn't it? Boy, he got there, they built their altar. He was such a gentleman. He said, y'all go first. Amen. And they did. The Bible said they started in the morning, they prayed all day, all afternoon, and nothing happened. They got so serious, they started cutting themselves and bleeding all over the place. Calling, screaming, crying. He was over there trying to encourage them. Cry a little louder, maybe he's asleep. Or maybe went on vacation. What an encourager. And it said, but about the time of the evening sacrifice, he repaired the altar of the Lord. I thought there's a lot of meaning in that. He repaired. That means it had fallen into disrepair. But he repaired the altar of the Lord. And he got the sacrifice to put on there. Now he said, we need some water here. If you've got salvation without water, you need some water in your salvation. He said, you bring me some water. We got some up here. We got a whole baptistry full. Amen. We don't have a damp cloth. I'll sprinkle a little on your forehead. He said, bring some water. And they poured water on 12 barrels full. I mean, it was on the ditch all around the ground. It was a soak sacrifice. And then he said a little, I think it's 61 words, best I remember, 61, 63 words, prayer. And suddenly, fire came down from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It licked up all the water. And the people started saying, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. My, they had revival in Israel that day. Boy, he got so bold, man. He grabbed him a sword and he went after those false prophets. I know this is gory, but it's in the Bible, folks. The Bible said they were slaying them left and right. Yes, they were. And in Bible times, it was a serious matter to be a false prophet. Now I've heard prophets go by percentages. I've heard them say that. You know, it's a learning process. You don't always get it right. Well, if God said it, you get it right. So don't you say God said if he didn't say. Amen. That makes you a false prophet. God doesn't work on percentages. He's right 100% of the time. So don't say God said it if he didn't say it. If you think it, that's okay. If it's your opinion, that's all right. But don't say God said if he didn't say it. I promise you one thing. God doesn't want people putting words in his mouth any more than you want people putting words in yours. Have you ever had somebody say something like that about you? Well, so-and-so said and you didn't say? made you upset, didn't it? It makes God upset whenever these prophets go around saying, the Lord said, and the Lord didn't say. Amen. So they got in trouble, 850 of them, and they killed them, every last one of them. God was serious about it. As a matter of fact, in his law, he said that, didn't he? He said, if a man speaks and he says, I said, and it doesn't come to pass, stone him. That kind of kept the false prophets down. Until they didn't obey the word of the Lord. You know why they didn't? Because sometimes they didn't want to hear what the Lord said. One old king of Israel, you remember what he said? He said, and the king of Judah come, and he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? He said, there is, but he never says anything good about me. So he had a bunch of prophets on staff that would tell him what he wanted to hear. Why in the world would you want something like that? Amen. I want to hear from the Lord. How about you? Amen. So anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. But Elijah, they had revival. One of the greatest revivals. But you know what? Then Jezebel got stirred up. And here's a man that was willing to face the nation of Israel and 850 prophets. But when the woman got stirred up, he hit the road. He started running. Yes, he did. He ran out in the wilderness. He got so tired. He crawled up under a juniper tree. And he said, Lord, why don't you just kill me? Just take me on home. Can you say pity party? You ever had one? You know what? The Lord never goes to pity parties. And the devil never misses one. He loves pity parties. He'll show up every day. He'll bring a bunch of people with him. He loves pity parties. And so he was having one. He crawled up under this tree, and the Bible says the Lord just said, go to sleep. You know, sometimes when you're having a bad day, the best thing for you to do is just go back to sleep. Just get back under the covers and go to sleep. After a while, the Lord woke him up, and the angel had fixed some dinner, and he said, rise and eat. He got up and ate, and the Lord said, go back to sleep. He slept again. And when he got up that time, the Lord said, eat again. And on the strength of those two meals, he went 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes when you're discouraged, you're really just tired. Brother Hart preached it the other day, as convicting as it is. We do need to try to take care of these old physical bodies. We do. We need to give them proper rest. And I know when I'm pointing to you, I got three fingers pointing at me. Amen. I understand that, because Lord knows I could do better with that. I understand I could do a little better with nutrition. I could do a little better with that. Amen. But you see, the Lord knew that he just needed to rest. Amen. Now, here he is. He's out in the middle of nowhere. But God knows exactly where he is. Amen. And he sent some angels and he fed him. And then he led him for 40 days to the mount. And when he got to the mount, the Lord taught him a valuable lesson. When he got there, and he was so upset, he was so alone. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, he said, he come hither to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, I'm the only one left. You ever felt like that? I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Amen. Yeah, we've all felt like that, haven't we? Amen. And listen to what the Lord said. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passeth by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, breaking pieces the mountain, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. He had already seen the Lord in these other things, but he needed to know God in a still, small voice. Sometimes God thunders, and sometimes God whispers. And if we can just be sensitive and close enough, we'll hear it. And then he said, listen, Elijah, by the way, he said, I've got 50,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal. Just because you feel alone doesn't mean you are. Just because you feel like the only one doesn't mean you are. Amen. Praise God. He's got a lot of faithful folks. Amen. But you see, he had to just trust God. He couldn't track him. He just had to trust him. But if you can just trust the Lord, he is trustworthy. You can trust him. But you know, God spoke to the prophet Malachi. And then for 400 years, there was no prophetic voice. You talk about a lonely time. 400 years without a voice. 400 years without a prophet. But you know what? You know what kept them? Same thing is going to keep you. This written word right here. They had the words of the prophet written down. Amen. They had the words of the prophets written down. Amen. And one of the last things he said to Israel, Malachi chapter 4, he said, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and with the statutes and the judgments. He said, you just remember my laws, and you're going to be all right. And you're going, how long, Lord? And then he goes on to say, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Do you know when that's going to be? That's yet to come. Revelation 11 talks about that. Two prophets. One of the prophets called fire down from heaven. Do you remember who that was? Amen. That was Elijah, wasn't it? He was the prophet of fire. And the other one had the power to turn water to blood. Who did that? Moses. So it appears to me, and God can send whoever he wants to, and I'm not going to get upset about it, but it appears to me that it's Elijah and Moses, because he said right here, Elijah's going to come before the day of judgment. Amen. Hey, you can trust God. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Amen. And he's going to bring it all to pass, isn't he? Not one thing that he said is going to fall by the way. Amen. I love this story. Look in Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to close here in the next 50 minutes, I promise. Mark chapter 6, I'm giving myself some leeway. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. And straightway, this is Jesus, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Now, I want you to notice what he said. The Lord said, you get in that boat and you go to the other side. There's not a storm that anybody could create that could have sunk that boat. No matter what happened, it could have been an earthquake, a tsunami, a hurricane, a tornado, and all the forces of nature and wrath all balled up in one, and that boat would have got to the other side. Because the Lord said, you go to the other side. There was nothing that was going to keep that boat from getting there. Now, so the Bible said he sent them away, departed in the mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Everybody say he saw them. Glory. The storm did rise. And the wind did howl. And the waves did toss, and the thunder did roll, and the lightning did flash. But the Bible said he saw them. He saw them. Hallelujah. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. and would have passed them by. I love that. He said, you get in that boat and you go to the other side. And then he went to pray. And when the storm was raging, the Bible said, and he saw them. Hear me. The next time you're in the middle of a storm, you understand that he sees you. Now, he didn't get to them immediately. But it says in the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, he come walking on the sea. Praise the Lord. He didn't come immediately. Just because God sees you, he doesn't always rush right down. Now, you mamas learned this with babies, didn't you? When you were new, you picked up the baby for everything. I mean, they cried and you jumped 10 feet and you were there. By the time the second squall was out, you were there hugging that little honey. But after a while, you learned to let them cry a little bit. And you learned different kinds of cries. Because you gained some wisdom. You understood that sometimes they just need to cry. And everything's going to be all right. They're not going to fall apart. Amen. And you learn how to distinguish a real cry from a sympathy cry. Let me just parallel here. God knows the difference too. Sometimes we start crying, all we really want sympathy. Hello? Ooh, Brother Grissom, don't go there. Woo! Glory. Yeah, we do. Sometimes we get to crying and praying. And all we're looking for is sympathy. And the Lord says, not yet. That's not worth going for. You'll get over it. You'll grow up here in a little bit. You'll learn how to handle some of these things. Hello? Hey, I'm going to tell you something about your God. He's not a smother mother. And he's not a sugar daddy. He's a mature God. Now he wants you to develop. He wants you to become all you can be. So he's going to let you roll a little bit. He's going to let you toil a little bit. He's going to let you... he's not going to let you go under. But he's not going to come just at your beck and call. Sometimes he's going to wait till the fourth watch. The darkest part of the night. And then he came. Hallelujah. You can trust God. You can trust God. Amen. You know what happens when somebody does everything for you? You never learn to do anything for yourself. And that's a pitiful thing. I heard about a chick one time that was trying to be born. And somebody felt so sorry for that little chicken that they took a little instrument and they started breaking the shell for him so he wouldn't have to struggle to get out. And you know what happened? The chick died. Because he needed the strength of the struggle to survive. And trying to help some people, we can kill them because they need the strength from the struggle. Amen. You know why God put wiggle in babies? Boy, did he ever. I heard about a mom one time trying to get her kid to be still in church. And they couldn't, little rascal, he couldn't be still for nothing. Amen. And she went to the pastor, she was so upset. She said, I just couldn't get him to sit still for nothing. He just kept wiggling, squirming. And the pastor said, well, he said, the Lord put the wiggle in that boy. Now, who do you think's going to win? They're going to wiggle some. Amen. Got to. Amen. We got to have a little patience. We got to have a little patience. Amen. All right. I'm hurrying here. Amen. My 45 minutes are up. I'm finishing up now. Amen. And so he came to them in the middle of the storm. You can't ever give up, folks. Amen. You can trust God. I heard about a fellow, his wife was in a coma. And she was in a coma for 4 months. He became so desperate. that he went home and he turned the gas on in his house and he committed suicide because he couldn't face it alone. 12 hours later, she woke up and said, "Where's my husband?" Just that close. You can't give up. You can't give up. October 29, 1941. It was during the Second World War, the Blitz in London. Winston Churchill was at the Harrow School. He gave a speech, and this is what he said. He said, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Never, 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 never give in." Simple, but powerful. Hey, don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Just keep on going. Amen. I found this. I had this years ago, and I found it again today. I was so excited to see it. Matter of fact, I made it my screensaver. I don't know if you can see this very well. You probably can't, but I love this drawing. It's one of my favorite drawings. It's a picture. It's in some water, and it's got a picture of a bird with a large bill. And the bird has a frog in his mouth. And he's already swallowed his head. But that's as far as it's going to go. Because that frog has both of his paws around that bird's throat. And the caption says, "Never give in." If you got your head in his mouth, get your hands around his throat and never give in. Amen. Just make up your mind. I can trust God. Let's stand together. And indeed, you can. Amen. You may not know where he is like Job. You may be asking, "Lord, where are you?" But just be sure you understand as Job did, the Lord knows the way that I take. "And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You'll not go very far in the Christian life until you learn that God is going to allow you to be tried. God is going to allow you to be tested. We talked about that last Wednesday night when the Lord told Israel in the wilderness, he said, "I will try you." He said, "I will test you." He said, "I'm going to show you what's in your heart. I'm going to let you know what kind of person you are. I'm going to show you your strengths. And I'm going to show you your weaknesses. I'm going to test you and I'm going to try you. And I'm going to make you better." Job said, "And when I come forth, I'll be like gold." Do you know how gold is purified? I haven't seen it, but I've heard the story. They say that you heat gold until it boils and it becomes liquefied. And then as it boils, the impurities that are in it will come to the top. And they just take some straight edge and they scrape those impurities from the top of it. And they turn up the fire and more impurities will come to the top. And they'll remove those. And the refiner says that when he can see his perfect reflection in the molten gold, then he says, "Now it's pure." You know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for himself in us. And when he can see Jesus in me, he said, now we're making progress. Amen. When he can see his perfect reflection, then he knows we're almost there. Amen. God's going to try us, folks. God's going to try us. But he's going to, he said, when it's all finished, he said, I'm going to come forth just like pure gold. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just insist upon his promise. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, and you will be with me until the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him all. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, my word shall not pass away. That's something you can trust and believe. Thank you so much. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace.
love will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but one thing is sure, God's love is eternal. In Him I'm secure. Thank you. yay.